Thank you so much for tuning into a service with Hope Family George. We hope it inspires you and helps you with your journey with God.
But today is Vision Sunday. And every year at our Vision Sunday, we remind ourselves and we talk about why we're here. Why do we exist? And to always help you, it's so others may live. We have it up on the wall there. We speak about it a lot. It is not about us. It is about God and other people. So we are a global family of churches with a mandate to reach people that are far from God and to bring hope in a lost and broken world. So we help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference.
Yeah, amazing. Hey, what a privilege that we get to be a part of this. And I love our theme for the year. So other, well, not our theme, not our theme for the year, but our mission statement, so others may live. Now, really, really encouraging.
Do you want to tell us about Evening College?
Can I first give you a kiss?
Oh my.
I think kissing is important. And if you are sitting next to your spouse, maybe give them a kiss. For some of you, the last time you kissed in church was when you got married.
I thought you blanked and you forgot what to say.
No, I was just so excited about that. I was just thinking about kissing you. I mean, like, well, how can I think about anything else? So one of the things that we're launching this year, which we are very excited about, and we've been praying and thinking about this and strategizing how to do it really well for the last number of years, is we're launching an evening college, Bible College. And it's going to be happening starting on the 3rd of February. And there's going to be two streams to it. One of them is a Christian leadership stream. And this is really to help people lead at a high level. Now, there is a difference between Christian leadership and normal leadership. There are some similarities, but as Christians, we're supposed to lead in a particular way because God has called us to be servant leaders. And so there's going to be that, and it's going to be very, very helpful. The other one is biblical studies. It's a theological course. And we are partnering with both of these courses with a Bible school in America, Highlands Leadership College, their Leadership Institute. And we are very, very excited about this partnership because it's really going to help us raise what we're doing to, you know, to, in a way that honors God. And so excited about that. And so if you really feel God's called you to make a big difference in the world, I want to really encourage you to think about, pray about it. There's going to be an opportunity after the service at the welcome desk to go to Charlene Fenter, and she'll be able to help answer any questions that you have so you can think about getting more involved. And we're piloting here in our congregation here, and then as we get better at this, we're going to then actually be rolling it out to all our other congregations as well. So very, very excited about this. But this is for anybody that wants to grow in your leadership, or if you really believe that God wants to use you in a significant way in his kingdom, this is one of the strategic, one of the very important ways where you can prepare for whatever God's got for you in the future.
Exciting, hey. So at the moment, we have 5 church locations. Myself and Paul started the first Hope Family in Mongu, Zambia on the 7th of December, 2008. And our 2 sons helped invite the whole town. Everyone said they were coming. I remember printing little invitations and inviting people, and the town was excited. And when we started our first service ever, only 5 people came. But we decided we're going to stick to our run sheet, and we're going to do our worship and share the news and preach our hearts out as if there were 1,000 people. Praise God, the next Sunday, 10 people came. And the Sunday after that, 20. And the Sunday after that, 40. Because God adds to our numbers. It is his church, and he will grow his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we've seen God's church grow and grow and grow. In 2012, our family relocated and we extended the Hope Family into George. I love George. And God called us here. So we are very blessed. Then 3 years ago, we started Hope Family in Park Dean, here in George, in Park Dean High School. And I know last Sunday there were over 500 people. So they're doing very well. And 2 years ago, we started Hope Family Muscle Bay. They're actually celebrating 2 years today. And yeah.
Amazing.
I know last Sunday there were over 300 people, so I'm guessing today's a big celebration. And then we also 2 years ago started in Northwest Arkansas, America. We thought South Africa needed to go help. Just joking. We're very strategic in planting there, also to help with our work in Zambia. And we've always had that dream in our hearts, and so God provided this lead couple that can lead the church there, Matt and Savannah Mackey. So we have the five churches, Paul and I'm senior pastors, and then all locations have lead pastors. But now we just heard that tonight, when we have our 6 p.m. service, Northwest Arkansas have their 10 a.m. service. But they can't meet because everything is snowed under. Proper. Like deep. You can't drive your car or anything. So Paul and I don't close churches. We're not for services, you know. We meet every Sunday. Come hail, rain. But you can't. So we understand, we saw all the snow. So they're going to tonight all lean into our 6 p.m. service because it's the exact same time. So we're so excited about that as well. But as a Hope family, collectively, our five churches, we baptized 498 people last year. That's a lot of people that got baptized. And that is an important number to us because that's our mandate, to make disciples, to reach people that are far from God. And for 2026, we have a goal of baptizing 550 people because we want to make sure that we stick to the plan. God's called us to reach people that are far from Him and make disciples. So that's an exciting goal for us. Last year, collectively, we had 1,361 individual dream teamers serving on Sundays. That's so amazing. And 330 small group leaders leading small groups. So today actually is part one of our small group leaders training for any new people that feel you want to get involved, but you can sign up afterwards under the tent or at the welcome desk. We also have live stream locations. You've heard us speak about our live stream location in Vintic. And then Dorchester. So I saw James and Shannon there. Hello. They actually help lead there at that location. So good to have you here. And we're so excited about the plans that God has for Hope Family in Dorchester. So we need to pray. God is really moving in that part of our world. So how exciting. And we have to mention Zambia Project. Zambia Project was started by us. We pioneered it when we were very energetic and brave in our 20s. And we moved up to rural.
We're still energetic and brave.
Even more now. But we went to rural. Sometimes I look back and I'm like, did we do that? Did I do that? But we went into rural Africa and pioneered a church planting movement amongst people who have never heard the truth about Jesus. So it's very special to us. We currently have 393 churches all over in villages with over 30,000 people meeting in church every Sunday. So that really is amazing. And want to encourage you, if you want to join our outreach to Zambia, it's from the 1st to the 17th of July. Save money, take leave. It will change your life. And if you can't go, but you have a 4x4 and your 4x4 would like to go, we would be so happy because we always need more vehicles. But our theme for the year is the Lord is my shepherd. And we really believe that this is an invitation to all of us to this renewed idea that the Lord is my personal shepherd. Maybe you know Psalm 23 so well. If I call you up on stage, you can quote it and win a chocolate. Or maybe today is the first time ever you even hear that the Lord wants to be your personal shepherd. We really trust and believe that God will move in every heart in a powerful and fresh way as we just think again about the implications of what it means to have the Lord as our personal shepherd. But let's read the passage together in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Beautiful.
You know, such a great passage, eh? And I love that God speaks. That God speaks to us about our future. God speaks to us about what he wants to do, and even speaks to us about our theme and what he wants to do in and through us as a church. And even the way that God spoke to us this particular year, it's always exciting, but even the way he spoke to us and confirmed it was just so, so, so amazing. And Renit, maybe you can just share a little bit about the confirmation process that happened.
Towards the end of every year, I get so excited to just hear from God what he'd like our theme to be for the next year. And it's really just because we know that meditating on the Word of God and a specific passage is powerful, and it can transform us and change us from the inside out. So as I was praying and trusting God, you know, my personality is make a way in the wilderness, and breakthroughs and miracles are on the ways, and just big things like that. But the whole time I felt the Lord speak, you know, there's the still small whisper just about him being our shepherd. And the more I was praying, the more I realized it's something along the lines of the Lord being our shepherd. And the end of November, I was listening to a song on my iPhone that I've never listened to before. It's a Phil Wickham song. His music's amazing. It's called God is Good. So I'm playing the song. It's just such a nice song. And I thought to myself, again, the Lord is our shepherd. And that's the theme that God wants us to embrace this year. So Paul and I was jumping in the car. We were driving somewhere. So I said, you know what? I really just feel God keep talking to me about our theme should be that he's our shepherd, something along those lines. And then Paul was, you liked it, hey? He was like, oh, that's nice. So I said, oh, well, I'm sure God will confirm it soon. And the next few seconds, the song starts quoting Psalm 23 verse 4 and saying, he's our good, good shepherd. The shepherd is here. And then I was like, I went back to the whole song. Nowhere else in that entire song do they mention shepherd or reference Psalm 23, except right at the end, a few seconds before I said, God will confirm it soon. So we just laughed.
Like, it's one of those moments you're like, okay, God's speaking. Like, God's here. Listen, we better be listening. We better obey. Yeah, that's actually really, really incredible. And so God is, he wants to be our shepherd. He wants us to know him in a personal, amazing way. So let's just read a few of those verses again. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. It's a beautiful, it's very simple, but actually so profound. But I love how it starts off with David. He's the author of this psalm, and he writes that he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't say that God is everybody's shepherd. Now, we know that God does want to be everybody's shepherd, but it's not automatic. It's a personal relationship. God says, David says, he is, Lord is my shepherd. And so, God wants to be your shepherd, and maybe you could answer that question this morning. Is the Lord your shepherd? And the way that you would answer that question is, are you his sheep? Because sheep follow him. And we've got to follow him in order for him to be our shepherd. We've got to decide that he is our shepherd and that we actually trust him and submit to him and follow him. The Lord is my shepherd. In order for him to be our shepherd, we've got to be his sheep. Now, it's also interesting the way that God chooses to describe us as sheep and him as our shepherd. And if you've ever been around sheep and goats for a bit, you'll know that there's a difference between sheep and goats. Like, sheep are actually very, very needy animals. They're very vulnerable. They need protection. They need guidance. They need somebody to show them what to eat and what not to eat. Sheep can't just eat anything. If they eat the wrong thing, they can die. Goats, on the other hand, they're goats. I'll never forget, Marinette and I, years ago, we were still living in Zambia, we were driving through Botswana, and we stopped at this little place to fill up with fuel, and there was a goat there, and it started to try to eat the tires of my car. And I was literally taking bites out of the tires. I'm like, what? But that's a goat. Goats, that's what they are. But we're not goats, we're sheep. And without having a shepherd, we're very, very vulnerable, and we can find ourselves in trouble very, very quickly. But here, God says that he wants to be our shepherd. I love what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2. You can put it up on the screen. It says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So God wants to be everybody's shepherd. He wants everybody to be saved. Similarly, in John chapter 10, it says this. It says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, for no one will snatch them out of my hand. He's a good shepherd, but the sheep listen to his voice. Early on, the same text that says, my sheep, they hear my voice. And so we've got to be able to hear, recognize his voice, know the difference between other voices and his voices. And that takes time, and we've got to grow in our understanding of God, learn to trust him and learn to follow him. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And so in order for us to be sheep, we've got to actually follow God. We've got to submit to him, submit to his ways. We've got to grow in our understanding of God and learn to become good sheep so that we can step into all that God's got for us. So what does that really mean for us? How do we do that practically? Well, the first one is we've got to come to church every week. You know, by God's grace, we have an amazing, amazing family. Amazing church family, and every single week the worship is just incredible. Wasn't the worship good this morning? And one of the amazing things about worship is the Bible says that God dwells in the praise of his people. And you can come into a place like this where we're all together in the house of God worshiping, and his presence is here. And we don't want to just know about God, but we want to experience him. We want to experience him, and part of that is corporate worship, where we get to experience God. Also, by God's grace, every single week, we try to teach faithfully what does it mean for us to follow God? What does it mean to actually serve him? And we do that every single week. So if you don't regularly attend church and you want to be his sheep, the first step would actually be, okay, I'm going to go to church. Like, come to church every week. Don't come occasionally to decide, I'm going to prioritize coming to church. Week in, out, when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it. Like, it's got to be a priority in our life. The next step from that would actually be doing our discovery course. Our discovery course is how you join our church, how you become part of the family, you actually join the family. And so if you haven't yet done discovery course, learn it. Come and sign up to do our discovery course. It's a 3-part course, and you'll learn more about the church, who we are, and you can actually join the church. And then from there is actually joining a team, becoming part of the dream team, putting on a red shirt and start to serve. And by doing that, you will grow. But also, a critical part of this process, coming to church, is actually to get water baptized. And make that a priority. And if you have never yet been water baptized, you got to get water baptized. The Bible actually instructs us. It says, believe and get baptized. In other words, it's an instruction. And so if you want to obey God, one of the things you've got to obey him in is water baptism. Marina, can you maybe just share your story of water baptism?
Yes, I will gladly do that. So I grew up quite religious. Our family was religious in the sense of we went to church every Sunday. And I even got confirmed when I was 17. But can you believe it? I never was a Christian. I was never saved, although I was told I was born a Christian. So quite confusing, actually. But I then stopped going to church after I was confirmed. But I realized as well, like, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You can come every week, but you have to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. Going to a library doesn't make you a book. Going to Burger King doesn't make you a burger. Okay, sitting in your garage doesn't make you a car. Because you're here doesn't make you a Christian. You're moving closer to God, that's for sure. But I had to come to the place when I was 22 years old where I had to humble myself and acknowledge that I'm not saved. The Lord is not my shepherd. I know about God, but even just the truth that Satan knows the word of God better than us. You know, just because we know the word of God and we know God is real doesn't make us saved. We need to make Jesus our personal Lord and Savior. But anyway, I got saved at the age of 22 in a church similar to this. It was awesome. But water baptism was, for me, I was not going to do that. Because it was this big thing coming from where I was coming from. And now, wat gaan allemaal denk as hulle sien, daar gaan maar net onder die water en kom uit. En dis allemaal in die publiek sien en daar's foto's. And so I decided, I'm going to follow Jesus, but not get water baptized. Well, I felt so convicted very soon. Because you know, when you walk with Jesus, he talks to you and he will show you what you need to do. But the thing is, as a new believer, I so battled with sin. So I kept swearing. And then even at church, people would ask, how are you? And we'd talk and I'm like, meep, meep. And I was like, this is so embarrassing because I just struggled with sin, you know. I still smoked very socially. Daniel Infinite Lights. I don't know if that even... but I smoked, you know. I don't even know how much nicotine's in there. And drinking. My friends would pour a glass of whiskey at the house and I'd be like, okay, let me have one. But I wanted to stop. And I had a boyfriend that wasn't good for me and I wasn't good for him. He was in church. But I also knew this relationship is not honoring God, you know. So I knew I had to break up with him. I had to stop all my sins. But I just, like, I did what I didn't want to do and I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I was just like dragging along as a Christian almost until I was water baptized. So this is my testimony. I decided to get water baptized. It was a big decision for me. God's word says, believe and be baptized. And you know what? Even Jesus got baptized to set an example for us. And he was God, the Son of God. So I got water baptized. It was a groot story. Familie het gery van Bloemfontein af. Almal van die werk het gekom. But when I came out from that water, I broke up with my boyfriend. And I stopped smoking. I stopped drinking. The swearing got less. And God just gave me a grace of purity on my life. But I had to be obedient and stick to his ways and his plans. So we are baptizing next Sunday. And we can't encourage you enough. If you haven't yet been water baptized and you're a follower of Jesus, get baptized. Sometimes some people served God, got baptized, but completely fell away and went on the wrong path again. If you come back to God, get baptized again because now you're a new creation. And you can get baptized again.
Brilliant. I love that. That's powerful. So maybe, not maybe, if you've never been water baptized, that is a very, very important next step of obedience. And so often we see is that as people decide to obey in something that is so straightforward, it's actually a very clear command from God. And when people choose to obey God in a clear command like that, so many other things in their life actually come right. They find it so much easier to overcome other things that they might be struggling with because they've said yes to God in that way.
Yeah.
And the word baptism is also a very interesting word. Often in we can misunderstand what it means. And so the best one of the ways I like to think about it is similar to having a rusk, and you dip your rusk in your coffee, like an Oma rusk, and you take your coffee, your rusk, and you dip it into the coffee. That's really what the original Greek word baptism, what it actually means. It means to immerse something into water. The rusk is immersed. It goes into the water, gets soaked. I've been watching people eat rusks and coffee for a long time, and I haven't seen this happen yet, where they actually have their coffee and their rusk, and then they put their fingers into the coffee, and then they do this on the rusk. And then they eat the rusk. I haven't seen that happen. Or maybe they put their finger in the coffee and then they go on the rusk like this. like that's not what it means to dunk a rusk in coffee. That's not the word. The word is to immerse. And so if that's not baptism. Baptism is immersion. You've got to go into the water. And so I would encourage you to obey God in that. It's a very simple, very clear, very easy instruction to obey, but it is something that God asks of us. And like Marina said, it was Jesus set an example for us, and so he wants us to follow him into baptism. So if you haven't done yet that yet, that would be a next step for you in your obedience to him. Also, if you're not yet part of a small group, join a small group. We often say that we learn in rows, but we grow in circles. And so we want to encourage you to grow in a circle. Maybe you've been to a small group before, and you're like, oh, I didn't really like it, and those people were strange. It's okay, we've got lots of small groups. Go to another small group. And just find a small group in our church that will help you grow, where you can build friendships. And maybe you might be fine, and you're like, well, I don't really need it. My other people need you. So get involved. Another next step for you to do is once you, maybe you're already attending church regularly, it's part of your life, you've now joined the Done Discovery course, you've been water baptized, you might be part of the dream team, you're actually serving and volunteering at church, you're part of a small group, your next step might be leading a small group. And so we encourage you to think about that, pray about that, come along, learn about how to lead a small group and get involved in actually leading others. The Bible says that we're supposed to disciple people. And so you want to be a person that actually is not only a disciple, but is actually discipling others. And one of the practical ways that you help disciple others is by leading a small group, by having a group of people where you're helping them learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And then, very important, to really step up and really grow in all that God's got for you is consider signing up to do our evening Bible college. And you can find out more about that afterwards at the welcome desk. And it's gonna really help you grow in your understanding of the Bible, learning to interpret it properly, but also learning to understand what does it mean to be a Christian leader and how do I actually prepare myself to be the leader that God's called me. One of the things that Jesus actually prays for, he says, he prays when he's looking at Jerusalem, he says, pray that the Lord will raise up workers because the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. And so really, we really need to pray and trust that the more leaders will raise up to actually look after what God's got. And so there is a massive leadership shortage of Christian godly leaders to actually do the work of the Lord. And so maybe that God's got something on your life to actually do that, to actually take responsibility, step up, and actually make a difference in the world. And one of the ways you can prepare to do that is through our evening college. And so very, very excited about that. Do you want to just talk about Zambia again?
Oh, want to hear more about Zambia? What's exciting about that is that it tells people who have never heard the truth about Jesus that there is a God in heaven who loves them, and it's completely part of our vision. But, you know, this theme for this year, the Lord is my shepherd, if we embrace this truth, that the Lord is my personal shepherd, it will change absolutely everything. It will change the way we approach relationships. So instead of me going into a relationship expecting to get, I go into a relationship ready to give because I know all my needs are met in Jesus Christ. So it strengthens all our relationships. And it changes the way we view our circumstances because we know God is with us. We know God is good and he will guide us through whatever we're going through. Just this last week, we were dealing with three big challenges. One from Zambia, one from another church, some more internally. But every time in the meetings, some executive, I could say, everyone, God will guide us through this. We just stay close to him. He is our guide. It's his promise.
So good.
And it changes the way we view the future. And so often, a fear of the future causes anxiety because we're not sure what's going to happen. And although we don't know the future or what it holds, we know who holds our future. Yeah. And it talks in Psalms 23 about his goodness and love that will surely follow us all the days of our lives. Yeah. And we will dwell in his house forever. And that's why we say, come to church, come dwell, come be in his house, you and your family, and we will see what the Lord will do.
Such a great promise, eh? And dwell in the house forever, but it says surely God's goodness will follow us. That word follow actually is the word to chase after, to pursue. And God's goodness will pursue us, will run after us as we choose to dwell in him and be in his house and just serve him. God's promises are amazing. God is amazing. And God will never force his goodness upon us. And all the promises that he's got for us, all the plans that he's got for us are conditional on us surrendering to him, us making sure that we are sheep and he is our shepherd, and that we trust not in our own understanding, but we trust in him, that we choose to hear his voice, that we choose to obey him when his instructions are easy and when they're difficult, when we agree with him and when we don't. And so we need to learn to follow him, trust him, and obey him. And that means we got to surrender. So maybe you're here this morning and you've got to make that decision. You've got to move from just knowing about God to actually becoming a sheep, where you can confidently say, the Lord is my shepherd because I've surrendered my life to him. I'm following him. He is my Lord and he's my Savior. Would you stand with me to your feet? We're going to take an opportunity right now just to come before God to pray. So let's come before him. Let's close our eyes. Lord Jesus, we want to come before you right now, and we just want to thank you so much that you love us, God. We pray, Lord, as we go through this psalm this year and just think about your goodness, that this truth wouldn't just be something that we know in our head, but was something that we experience in our heart, Lord. You're a good shepherd, and that we are your sheep, and that we lack nothing. While we're in this attitude of prayer, maybe you're here this morning and you need to make God your shepherd. You need to decide to become his sheep. And so if that's you, I'd love to lead you in a very simple prayer, a prayer of surrender, where you say, God, I give my life to you. God, I want to follow you. God, I want to serve you. God, I want to submit to you, that you would be my Lord. And if that's you, we'd love to lead you in a very simple prayer. So while everybody's eyes are closed and heads bowed, if that's you, could you just quickly raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with and say, yes, that's me, that's me. Well done. The best decision you can ever, ever make. Well done, well done. You can put your hands down. All those that raise your hands, could you repeat this prayer after me with the rest of the congregation pray as well? Say this, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for all of my sins. Today, I surrender to you. I give my life to you, and I want to follow you from where I am into all that you've got for me. In Jesus' name.
Stay in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Send through your prayer requests, praise reports, or any questions you might have to 062-214-2814. That's 062-214-2814.